This is a spiritual reading being given for Tyson Gilbert on Saturday, the 12th of November 2022 in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We stand within the Hall of Memory. The Book of the Soul is given into our hands. And the Book of the Soul, Tyson, is a metaphor. As I see it, it's a thick book, beautifully bound, with a beautiful light pink rose cover. And the book is a metaphor. It represents the record of all your incarnations since the soul first came into physical existence many thousands of years ago. The book itself, or the cover of the book, has three characteristics, and each of them are to do with the quality, the energy, and the original purposes of the soul. The light rose on the cover indicates that the soul is very sensitive. It's very sensitized to life, to experience. It's the color often of the artist, or at least of a very artistic person, and indicates that the soul came into incarnation in the very first place because it was attracted by the beauty of the physical world, and it wished to be part of that beauty, and it became part of the plant kingdom, so to speak, part of the animal kingdom, not literally, but part of that aspect of humanity. And finally, in the Lemurian period, became connected and attached to a physical body. So that a sense of beauty should pervade your life, that your life should be surrounded by beauty, and that when you are creating beauty, you would feel most at peace, most at one with self. The second attribute is that there is a symbol, a picture, at the center of the cover of the book. And as we see it, it is a red rose with thorns. The rose is not full, it's more of a bud beginning to open up into the full rose. And that image has a particular relevance to this incarnation, as we will see later. The third attribute of the book is that it has a title. You could consider this, if you like, a soul name. Now, I can only at this stage see part of the soul name. I think there's more to it. But as I perceive it, it would translate as the one who experiences, or perhaps the one who needs to experience, or perhaps again the one who needs to transform experience. And that means that your soul, from life to life, has needed to experience the physical. In a sense, your soul is very ethereal. It's very fine. It finds certain aspects of life grating and hard to cope with, and so it would like to shut itself away and insulate itself from the world to some extent, and from the pain and the discomfort that's part of physical existence. And yet, because the symbol of the rose with the thorns is there, it means that each life you are challenged to grasp the purpose of that life, even if at times it causes pain. We will open the book now, and it opens to the current incarnation. And here the soul depicts itself for us in two ways. On the right hand side, it depicts itself in colours, and these are the colours of the aura. And on the left hand side, it's created a sort of a verse, if you like, which represents the purpose or the purposes of this incarnation. And you have asked a lot about purpose, but the thing is that you're not ready to hear your purpose. You're only ready to hear certain aspects. That's why you want to squeeze in something else into the question, so that really your life's purpose is only part of your focus. But never fear, I'm going to answer that question anyway. And no, travel is not part of your life's purpose per se, but there is a reason for it. Well, let's look at the right hand side, where we see the colours of the aura, and the inner colour, which represents the etheric colour or the colour of the energy body, is a light rose. It's an unusual colour, and it's a direct reflection of the colour of the Book of the Soul. And it's always difficult when one has light rose as a first colour, because as I've already indicated, light rose is a very sensitive energy. And it's like your soul. Your soul is very sensitive. It's something that you want to protect. You want to protect yourself. You feel that various life energies are out to get you. And by the way, recently they have been out to get you. So it's not paranoia, it's actual fact. There are some really difficult energies operating within the life at present. And these are all part of a larger life cycle of renewal. So you are in a cycle of renewal, but the problem with renewal is that before one renews, the old has to die. And you are in a phase of life where you are drawing certain expressions and certain ideas about who you are to a close. And you would be finding this already, that some of the old life frameworks, the life patterns, what you've been relying on or working with for perhaps the last 10 or 15 years perhaps, that they are either closing themselves off to you, or you're removing yourself from them. And that can be in terms of career, work, home, relationships, and it's a great time actually to let go of some of the old life energies, because until you let go of them, till they wash out of the system, the new can't come in. So, light rose. And I think I've already indicated, light rose is the colour of the artist. And you should express yourself artistically with colours, with movement, Music should be really significant in your life, and not just because of the light rose, but because of the other colours that we see. Now we'll come back to the light rose later, but the second colour is yellow, quite a light yellow-brown. And yellow is a colour of the mind, so that you're a thinking person. That's good. You like to think about things. Sometimes it indicates that the mind and the mental gymnastics that go on are constant, and there's no let up, that you're always trying to figure things out in your mind, that there always has to be a reason for something, or you always have to rationalize things and people in your life. You have to have a plan for people, you have to have a plan for your life. You have to understand. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. It's just that the yellow-brown has a tendency to pigeonhole and put things in boxes. And you would have been busted out of some of those boxes over the last 2 to 3 years, because, as I've indicated, there are strong energies flowing into the system that are energies of change and transformation and forced change, forced transformational energies, particularly to do with relationships with women. And the prime woman in a man's life is, of course, the mother. So you must have been sorting things out with your mother, particularly in the last year or so, and that's probably going to take another year or so to work its way through. So yellow-brown. The browns are good. They're a bit grounding, which is also good. Indicates that you can use your mind to make money, that you will be able to access work, that you'll have skills that people are happy to employ you for. Now, those skills may not be what your heart desires. You might have some sort of occupation, like you might be a teacher, or you might be a mechanic, or something like that, that is great because it gives you a job, but it's not what you want on the inside. There is a third colour, and that's greens. And greens are very changeable. It's interesting that between the light rose as the first colour and the greens as the third colour, that there's probably a lot of change going on in your life. Well, I know there's a lot of change because I just read that you're going to New Zealand, so that's right. Now, the thing is that light green, the greens, are never satisfied. You'll feel better when you make the change. You'll feel better going overseas. You'll feel better entering a new relationship. But then after a while, the greens start shuffling their feet and scratching their heads and say, oh, is this it? Is this really all there is? Can't I do something else? And so that the urge to make changes in the life is very strong. On the other hand, the greens are very empowering at the moment, if you wish to make changes, because they facilitate change. From the shoulders, blues. Lighter blues with darker streaks, indicating a deep strand of spirituality that runs through your thinking, through your life. Indicates that in previous lives you've sought different spiritual paths. For example, you were in India in about the 12th century, I think, and there, what were you doing? You were sort of a yogi. I can see you with a sort of a red sort of robe on, and meditating and people would come to you for instruction and enlightenment. But that was quite an isolated life where you practiced. You practiced a lot of exercises, mental exercises, meditational exercises. You may not want to do that sort of thing today. You've probably had enough of that in that life. And there's another life associated with that, with the blue. There's a whole lot of lives associated with the blue, but going back to the 3rd or 4th century in Egypt, where you are a monk in a sort of a very small community in the desert, and again spent a lot of time in a very small confined space, and you had a small cell, a very small room with just one window in, and as I said, bars across the window. I don't know why the bars are there. Sure not to stop you getting out. And you, again, a life of intense devotion and meditation. Now, the legacy of those sorts of lives is often found in later lives, and you might think that it inclines you to be, it would incline you to be very spiritual and to want to meditate a lot, or perhaps to go off and join a monastery or something. No, not at all. If you've had lives where you've been in those roles, then you need to have lives where that's balanced. So in this incarnation, you'll be very impatient with people who want to establish some kind of spiritual control or give you spiritual direction. You would be very rebellious against people trying to point you in certain directions or to say this is the way you ought to behave. It may be that you were brought up in a family where one parent or the other was very into a spiritual path and projected that onto you. And in this incarnation, those deeper blues come out as a deep sense of rebellion, that you don't want to be forced in a direction because other people think that that would be good for you. You want to make up your own mind. And so you should. That would be the right expression, the right spiritual expression, that you get to make your own mind up. Within the head, orange. Now, I'm going to describe what we normally call the cosmic colours, but I'm seeing them a bit differently here, so this will be a challenge for Melody to put in the aura chart that you will receive. But coming into the head, like a vortex, first of all, is a very light and quite narrow funnel vortex, which is a very light lilac. That's the best way I can describe that, and indicates that there's a very high level of energy coming into your thinking and understanding at present. And it is a very unsettling energy. It promotes change, but the thing is, you want to change, but where? How? What should I do? And so you embrace change, which is good because you're at a phase in your life where you should be changing, and changing, as I've already said, to release the past and let it go. And then above that and surrounding it is something like a blue cloud, It's a different color blue from the blue from your shoulders. This is coming from the cosmos, which indicates that it's an energy being given by the spiritual powers to help you make changes in your life. And this is the energy that I would describe as completing one cycle and getting ready to commence another. And in this blue, blue is the color of dissolution. So you will find that aspects of your life are just dissolving away. Don't try and hold on to the past. Let it go. Let it go gently. Let it go with love. And it'll take another year or so for this process to complete. Probably this year, probably the rest of next year, probably by the time you get to about 2024, I would think that you're ready for new beginnings. Now, my suggestion to you with this sort of energy working our way is not to make long-term plans or relationships at present. That doesn't mean that you can't embark on new enterprises. It means don't attach yourself emotionally or mentally to new situations and the new energies that are arising in your life, because the point of all these situations and energies is to assist you to move on, which is really great. And it's really great that you've got the new relationship with Sue, because there is this is a relationship that will help you accept certain things in your life, in yourself, I would say, help you accept certain things about yourself and about how you deal with relationships and about how you relate to other people. And it shouldn't have that overwhelming, trying to think of the word, fascination, passion, I can't quite find the right word there, but certain relationships grab you and hold you, and you become almost fanatical about that relation, almost focused on that relationship. This is not a relationship like that. This is a relationship of healing for both of you and for sharing, probably sharing financially, sharing in terms of your gifts and talents. It would be great if you can find ways of working together within the relationship. The word just came to me. Certain relationships are obsessive. Now, the relationship with Sue doesn't have that obsessive quality. That is, it's something that you can live in, that you can share love, and it should come out as a balance. A bit like two people riding on a seesaw. That sometimes one person is up and the other person is down, and sometimes that first person is down, the other person's up. But always there's an equilibrium, so that the theme of this particular relationship would be equilibrium. And you need to find that equilibrium, because goodness knows, within your life, you must have been experiencing a lot of emotional ups and downs and traumas and questioning and perhaps hurt by people and having to deal with comments and insults perhaps, or scars, emotional scars almost, that have been laid upon you, because there's another energy coming into the heart area, also a cosmic energy, and this comes to me as a light pink, which is to say that there that your whole heart, your whole emotional system, your whole emotive system is subject to what's the word? It's very strong tensions, breaking away, breaking up, breaking old connections, especially old emotional connections. And that's all really good here. That's good because some of these old connections are really were really unhealthy. There's an interesting incarnation. You were asked about your mother, and here we see you in the 15th century in I think the south of France, and here you are a monk, a priest, I think it's a priest is what it is, and you are the priest of a household, and the household is it's a household of, we'll call him a duke, I don't know what the precise rank is, but he, this person is very important, and he has an enormous estate, so he's always having to go out and look after his estate and go to different towns and cities and look after his affairs. And when he does this, he leaves his young wife behind, and you are supposed to be the spiritual advisor, so he depends on you to look after the welfare of his wife while he's away, to give advice, to help her negotiate the servants and the affairs of the home, of the castle, if you like. But unfortunately, you're both quite young, and you fall in love, and you have a torrid affair while the Duke's away. And that's not good. Because you plot to kill the Duke when he returns, but the Duke hears of the plot, and instead has you arrested, and he has his wife executed, but he puts in a dungeon, a cell, an underground cell, if you like, and gradually he puts you to death. Not a very pleasant way to die. But in this incarnation, you've come into contact with the woman who was the Duke's wife, and that soul has incarnated as your mother in this life. Now that would create very strong tensions between you, almost a hate-love relationship, a love-hate relationship, because on the one hand, there's an incredibly strong bond between you. But on the other hand, in the life in the 15th century, you were the advisor, and you talked this person into what you wanted. And now, in this incarnation, this other person, as your mother, is probably going to want to be just as controlling in your direction. In other words, the last few years have been a breaking away from the relationship, the karmic relationship with this person. I wonder where that Duke's gone now. I think he'll come into your life as well. And he will come in as a person whom you will have to forgive, but who will in the end become a friend and an assistant in life, but that's not till some years hence. So that there's strong karma between you and your mother, but that karma will be worked through, actually I would think very soon, probably early next year at the latest. By the time you get into the next year, 2023, and you get some distance, you need some emotional distance and some physical distance, that I would anticipate that the relationship will start to become stabilized, and that in the end, because karma has been redeemed or played out in this incarnation, it's been balanced, that you will end up with a good relationship with your mother. Well, let's address the question, or the questions of purpose for a moment. Purpose changes. There is one single life's purpose, but it's not necessarily to come in and be a great singer or a world-renowned artist, or to invent a cure for cancer. Those are not usually purposes, those are usually tasks. And our purposes are more to do with the development of our soul. Now, there are three phases of purpose within your life, and you're entering into the first of these. You're entering into the second of these. The first is to do with the family, which is from birth to the early 30s. And that one you should have moved through. The fact that you are completing karma with your mother shows that you are moving on into your own life, where you will address the karmic imbalances that are on your personal balance sheet. And here is where you will make relationships. And karma always plays out in relationships. You will build things with people. You will repay things to people. And if you can look at everything that comes towards you as part of purpose, and say, yes, my moving to New Zealand, that's part of my purpose. I need to go to another country. That was written in my sacred contract, so to speak, and I need to do that so I can be with this other person. And in my relationship with this other person, everything that happens, everything that works its way through, is addressing this next purpose. And the purpose will probably last, these phases last about 7 years. So that the first phase that you've been working with will finish about the age of 35. And then the second phase of this part of your life, this is the second karmic phase, that will last about 42, and the third part of that will last about 49. And in each of these 7 year cycles, a different aspect of purpose will be put in front of you. The first part, from about 30 to about 35, you're completing, or you should be completing, family karma, and you should be making yourself independently independent of your family. And it doesn't mean you stop loving them. It means that you are no longer emotionally controlled and bound by the family connection. Now, when that finishes, then you will embark on what we might call the relationship period. And there are certain relationships that will come towards you in this time. Sue is just, I'm not saying just the first, but is the first. And you'll probably find that there are two more significant relationships between now and the age of 42. And from the age of 42 to 49, you're finalizing all these relationships. And then, once you've reached the age of 49, we would say that karma is completed, and that will open up your life's purpose to a much greater degree. Because up until the age of 49, your purposes are dictated for you. You don't have much of a choice. And the best thing to do when situations come along, if you want to achieve purpose, is to cultivate a sense of gratitude for the experience. And your purpose, of course, coming into incarnation, is to have experiences. Without experience, the soul can't progress. We will come back to purpose shortly. Let's come back to the first colour of the aura, which is the light rose. Here, associated with art, with music, strange enough, with dance, with movement. And all these things should be important to you in this incarnation. Because the light rose makes you very sensitive, it's also a very strong psychic element within the nature. And that your first instinct is to react from the emotional levels and then go to the second colour in the aura, which is the light roses, sorry, the light yellows, yellow browns, and then try and make sense of it and to rationalise it. So you don't think first and then act. You react first and then think about it. Incarnation in Holland in the 14th century, I think, in a male body, painting. I'm not sure if it's the 14th century because, as I see, you're painting windmills, and I'm sure they weren't developed until much later, but it could just be a symbol. But here you are, painting landscapes, and painting with oils. It's very heavy texture. You were a teacher in that incarnation as well. You taught art. You had a school there of artists. Name began with a V. V-E or V-O or V-A. I'm sorry, that's not much help, is it? Vern or Verndorf, some name like that, which I can't quite see at present. But you were very respected in that incarnation. Happily married, your wife in that incarnation was had a very how can I put it, a very stable life, but she died quite young of some sort of illness, not the plague, but some sort of illness that was very infectious and was going through the country. And you were devastated by her death, and you never remarried. Now, that person you will encounter again in this incarnation, and you will find that if you encounter this person in this life, that there is an ease of getting on with this person, and that there is a stable, it's quite easy to fall into a stable relationship. It's a sort of relationship where you feel you've known this person all your life, which in a sense you have, you know them from the other life. And it may be that this person will assist you in terms of work or finances in this incarnation, assist you in practical ways, because as you supported your wife in the artist's incarnation, now she may well support you, or at least give you some sort of support, even if it's emotional support, which would be very helpful. And this is a person who should show faith and confidence and belief in you. Incarnation in Egypt about 4,000 years ago, 3,400 years ago. And here in the temple, and as I see you, you're again in a male body, have a white sort of toga or tunic sort of thing on you, a white, and it goes over one shoulder. And And it's got a sort of a golden band, which indicates that you were a member of the priesthood and occupied an important position. You were associated there with snakes, that the snakes were sacred to the god, and so you, part of your responsibility was to look after them, and you were able to control them through a combination of rhythm. So you would move your body from side to side in different motions, and you would croon or you would hum. And even though snakes, I believe, have no ears, they could feel the vibration, and so they would become calm. And you broke your concentration one day. You lost the pitch, so to speak. Your concentration was disturbed by someone who came in and interrupted you, and you were bitten by the snake, and you died very, very quickly. There's no cure. Now, what that indicates to me now is that you may have difficulty at times and focusing and concentrating. And yet, through bodily movement, exercises with movement, exercises with music, using the voice, these can be very helpful to increasing and increasing focus. You may like to work with music. The snakes had another significance because they represented different energies in the body, and you were in the middle of training for initiation in the Egyptian life, and that was interrupted. Now, when that happens, when the initiation is not able to be completed, then there is a reaction or creation in later lives, and this can mean that the emotional levels can sometimes go up and down, sometimes quite suddenly. So that it's going to be important in this life to bring the emotional levels down and to detach self from the emotions. And we are not our emotions, of course, but it's very difficult because at times when the emotions are triggered, then they take over our actions, our thinking, our thoughts. And so one needs to become the observer, and that's part of your purpose in this incarnation, by the way, to learn to detach from the emotions and to survey from a distance. The influencing colors, the blues above the head, and there are actually influencing colors below the feet that are sort of like orange yellows, which indicates that it's time to make a move. So that's all good. Definitely movement time. And the blues above the head I've already discussed in terms of the one life cycle coming to the end by the end of, I think, 2024 or thereabouts, so that another one can begin. And if you look at this time, the next 2 years, the next year and a half at least, as a transition time, and you think of it as a time to look at your options, become aware of what life is going to offer you, then life will come towards you after 2024. And will offer you a new, I think I'll just put it this way, it will offer you the chance to build a new identity. And that will be a period of life where you take on greater responsibility, personal responsibility, but also responsibility in terms of other people. Let's come back to the Book of the Soul, because I want to explore for a moment the little verse on the left-hand side. And the verse has a title, and the title is very simple. It is The Red Rose. So that's the title, The Red Rose. And then the first line, to cleanse old blood. second line to renew past vows. And the third line, to walk into the light, carrying the light. So each of these three lines represents one of the three phases of life, one of the three purpose phases of life. And the title, The Red Rose, indicates that the soul comes into incarnation to grasp the rose, and the rose has thorns. So sometimes to grasp beauty creates pain, and yet beauty is also the result of pain, or beauty is birthed out of pain. So if I were to give you a purpose for this incarnation, it may not make much sense, but I would describe it like this. I would say the purpose of this incarnation is to live this life as an artist. So to create a life like an artist composes a canvas. The first line of the verse, to cleanse old blood, indicates that your family connections were tightly karmic, strongly karmic. And that's normal, by the way. We have strongest karma with our family very often. And I've given you the life we had with the soul who was your mother in this incarnation, where there was a great injustice created there by both of you, and both of you broke your vows, and that led to the spilling of blood. Certainly the spilling of the blood of the wife of the Duke in that incarnation, and in the end it ended in your death too. And when there's a connection made with sex, then very often in another life you can't have sex with that person. They're in a position where it would be taboo, so you don't have sex with your mother, obviously. And so you have to resolve the connection, the dynamic between you, without sex. Sex is a great way of resolving relationship conflicts and dynamics, but you can't do that in this situation. So you have to go through the pain and allow that person to express their pain, and perhaps you'll be able to be with them in the expression of that pain and to understand the pain that they have to express. And then there will come a time when you can move on. You'll know within yourself that time has come to an end, that you don't have to take any more of that, that you have done what you needed to do there. And then you move into this life, this part of life, to renew old vows. Now, in one sense, that will bring you into different relationships. But in another sense, it's interesting, Tyson, because the vow that you broke in that life, which is still there, is you broke a vow as a priest, you broke a vow of celibacy, and there's no... I'm not saying you need to be celibate in this incarnation, far from it. But I think what you need to come to understand is how you can help other people heal themselves. So in the years to come, it may be that you become something like a catalyst for other souls. You'll help other souls get together and mend their wounds. You'll help other souls to see things about themselves and about life. You've got a real gift of communication, and communication can be very healing in itself. We have one more line on the poem. To walk to the light, towards the light, with the light. And as I see you, there's a very strong image here, and I'm looking at you, and you something like a monk's robe with the hood up, and there's a rope around the waist, and in your hand you're holding a light. Now, that's for the future. That once you complete your karma at the age of 49, 50, there will be a hiatus. And by the way, part of renewing the vow is to rediscover a spiritual direction in life. And that's something that really, for most of us, comes very slowly, very gradually over our life. And we're not ready to grab that spiritual purpose and to express ourselves as spiritual beings till we enter our 50s. But what I see is if you can allow yourself to embrace the experiences that come to you, a bit like you hold on to the rose with the thorns. Experience in life comes with thorns. There's no doubt about it. Pain is a very important part of life. Emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain. But the thing about pain is that it makes us pay attention. That's what grabbing a rose on the thorns does. You immediately pay attention to where you're holding the rose, into your thumb or your finger. So you become very aware of something. You become very aware of how you're holding on to a situation. And out of that comes the flower, which is truth. From pain, truth arises. Now, if you can work with that, then that red rose becomes something like a light, and you're now holding on to a beautiful radiant light as you walk into the greater light. So that part of your purpose is to discover a connection, a real connection to spirit in the next 20 years. So giving you a fair amount of time to do that. I'm going to come back to that in a second, but I want to just give you the symbol of the over-self before we finish. And the symbol of the over-self is a picture that I see about 5 or 6 inches above your head. And it represents the life process that you're going through at the moment. And the symbol is this. I see you seated upon a bike, pedaling like mad. But the bike is held between two rollers. So that the front wheel is against one roller, the back wheel is against another roller. And you're pedaling like mad, but you're not going anywhere. Because the bike is bouncing the rollers. And you must felt a little bit like this in your life over the last couple of years, that you're pedaling like mad, but you're not getting anywhere. And yet, of course, you are getting it. You're making changes. And sometimes the greatest changes come when we stand still within self. Now, you are going to be able to get off that bike soon. In the meantime, just think of this as an exercise. The reason that you're on that bike pedaling like mad is to get some exercise. It's not a wasted bike. It's very useful. You're exercising the physical body, and so that you've been exercising your emotional body and your thinking body, your energy, if you like. You've been exercising all those things, or life's been exercising it for you. But you're getting to a state where you're going to get off that bike. And I would like to set this as a vision for the future, that when you get off the bike, look into the distance, into what is beautiful, what is good, what is true, and make those ideals, those energies, those visions, your focus over the next 20 years, that you always focus on the highest. Because when we focus on the highest, then our vision becomes filled with light. And that's important, because not only then do we see clearly who we are and what our life is about, but we can't help radiating light out to other people. And everyone walks in darkness, and everyone needs the help of any light that can be shone in their direction. And the more you walk towards the light, and the greater the light that you create within self, the greater light that you create within the world, and the greater light that you give to other souls. And that would be a really great purpose. So shall it be.